We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome back to the RotoViz Baseball Show on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by Blue Wire. My name is Colin Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland, and I'm joined by Conor O'Driscoll, who has been on a couple of these shows recently. We're getting a lot of positive feedback having Conor on, so it's great to get him on here to share some more insights with us around his recent series up on RotoViz.com, which has been absolutely fantastic to read. And I'm going to give a plug here at the start of the show for two separate things. One of them is go and give Conor a follow on Twitter at DricoOut, which is DricoOut. That will be also in today's show notes if you need to find it on there. We're trying to get him to close in on those 1,000 followers over on Twitter.com, as they call it. But the other thing I want to give everyone the little reminder for is this show is possibly being listened to on the RotoViz main feed, which has all the shows on the RotoViz podcast network. If you are listening to it and you enjoy it today, please hit that subscribe button on the RotoViz Baseball Show feed. That is where you can find all the podcasts that I do here with Conor, for example, that I'm doing with Zachary Kruger, who's my co-host on the feed, all the streams that we do up on the RotoViz YouTube channel. Find all that and more, and it is the RotoViz Baseball Show podcast feed. So please do give that a subscribe if you haven't done so already. And if you are enjoying the shows, drop us a written review. But Conor, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having me on again, Colin. Really enjoyed doing these. I really enjoyed talking with you, having a lot of fun. So I appreciate you having me back on for the sixth time now.
Yeah, they say, sixth time lucky, I think. Is that the saying?
Six times the charm.
So we have had five great shows. Hopefully this is not going to change things. Hopefully the sixth one is going to be even better than the ones that preceded it. But looking forward to doing it. Today we are going to talk about, has the second year wide receiver advantage been squeezed out of existence? And something that we've talked about a lot over the years at RotoViz is that second year advantage, and when wide receivers and quarterbacks as well. But today we'll be talking about wide receivers really take that step forward and kind of make the leap, if you want to call it that. But second-year wide receiver advantage has been something that we've targeted for a long time. We've also looked at getting those rookie wide receivers who are often undervalued. But we're starting to see people, and I've mentioned this a number of times, become smarter drafters. They're consuming more content. More articles are going up on the site. More articles like yours are available, for example. You know, Ben Gretz does the Stealing Signals, which is absolutely amazing work. Sean Siegel's work up on rotoviz.com. All that stuff put together means more people are reading information. More people are becoming aware of, like, the dead zone, for example, the quarterback window. But today we're speaking specifically, as I mentioned, about the second year wide receivers and if that advantage has been squeezed out of existence. As you mentioned, the information that we will talk about today is also from Connor's article up on rotoviz.com that I've just referenced. The link to that will be in today's show notes if you want to check that out up on the website. But Connor, what are you seeing as you dive deeper into the information? Are we looking at ADPs getting pushed up? Are we looking, how are people adjusting to these second year wide receivers?
So I guess just to start out with why the second year receivers are targets to begin with, this is the group of players where the most amount of breakouts happen. They have the biggest jump in targets of all the kind of experience levels. To win money in fantasy football, you need breakouts. You need guys you've drafted in the 8, 9, 10, whatever round, and they play like you drafted them in the fourth round or higher. And so that's the group of players that you do want. But like you said, drafters are getting smarter, more sophisticated, and these guys are going higher than ever before. And so one, I guess, interesting thing about it is that we've also just had a series of some of the best rookie wide receiver classes of all time. Like we've had the Jamar Chase class, and then we had the Justin Jefferson class. And so I do think that it is important to adjust some for that. And so what I did was I kind of plotted rookie point per game numbers versus their sophomore ADP. And so, and then I kind of did that for this year. I compared it to 2021, 2020, and try to figure out how do they compare. And so on Underdog, probably the site that likes wide receivers the most, which is ironic given that it's half PPR, the second-year wide receivers are basically, even when you adjust for the very strong to elite production as rookies, they're going higher than ever before. So that does create this kind of interesting thing where we still do want them. And then on top of that, there's also this dynamic where, like I said, Underdog drafters really like receivers. So receivers in general are getting pushed up higher than ever before. And so you do want to account for that a little bit. And so I have also compared their ADP rank within receivers versus production. And they're also going higher among wide receivers than ever before. So you've got two things going on. Wide receivers in general are going higher, and then the sophomores are going higher within wide receivers. And that's within Underdog in particular. And so that does create this kind of interesting problem where it's still this section of players that we want to draft. Because, like I said, that's where most of the breakouts come from. And you do have this interesting thing of how do I get my exposure to this group without falling into some pitfalls. And so there's kind of like two ways to approach it. One is that I don't think you should be reaching for second year receivers on Underdog, because they're already kind of priced at this premium. So if you're already priced at a premium, you don't want to be paying above that. And then on top of that, if I do that same analysis on FFPC, the sophomore receivers are actually, in ADP-wise, going exactly in line with 2020 and 2021. Exactly in line. And so I'm like, okay, well, that's a great way to kind of maintain that edge. And the same is true in the within ranks in ADP. And so if I will definitely plan to get more of my second-year receiver exposure on FFPC. And so I think the other thing about FFPC is that the price point tends to be higher. Like the tournament is $125, but one thing I'll say about that is that I often do this, is that I'll split that team with somebody else, and I'll do a slow draft team with somebody else. And I think that's really strong because, A, the FFPC platform is, I guess, it's designed really to be able to easily co-draft a team with somebody else, much easier than Underdog. And B, I actually think some of the most fun that you can have in the offseason is slow drafting a team with somebody else, especially when it's complementary drafters, when people who draft well together, that can be a lot of fun. And I actually think that's an edge. It's basically, if you're in a slow draft and two people are drafting one team, that's two brains working against a set of one brains for each team. And I honestly think that's an edge. And then you also have the $35 Superflex FFPC. And I think that's one of the most interesting formats. I actually think that's a better format than the Underdog one, because you combine it with the tight end premium, the wide receivers are full PPR. And so you create this kind of rule structure where you can almost approach it structurally. You get a lot more freedom with how you approach it structurally. Now, that's a kind of a side point, but the point is there are ways to get second-year receiver exposure on FFPC without having to reach and get $125 per draft from your pocket.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
No, that's a good point. And I do talk sometimes about bankroll management and, you know, how to plan things out. Obviously, if you're playing in the puppy over at Underdog, it's, you know, $5 entry. So if you're thinking about that versus playing over at the FFPC, you can get 25 puppy drafts for the cost of the one FFPC best ball tournament entry. Or for example, if we're looking then at even the best ball mania, you know, it is costly, but the fact is then that it's a smaller field tournament with, you know, good payouts that are split among the players. It's more realistic opportunity to go and win that tournament. I really love the FFPC, both the Superflex and the best ball tournament's structure of the 12-team league and then the advances into 12-team leagues. And I believe the Superflex final is 33 teams maybe in the final, but much smaller pools that you're trying to advance from, which, you know, I feel for me is a more realistic option. Maybe that's because Connor, myself and yourself progressed to the final last year and finished first and second, but you know, maybe that's rose-tinted glasses, but I really enjoy that format. But like you mentioned, splitting the ownership, having more shots as well at, you know, having a chance to win it. If you go in and you do it yourself, and let's say your bankroll is going to be $1,000 for the season and you're trying to play in all these different tournaments, but if you go with somebody else, you're doubling that up to 2,000. You're having, you know, you're going to have less winnings if you actually win it, but you're also having double the shots at trying to get into those fields, into those finals, and trying to cash out at the end of the season. So I think that's a good point on the co-management element, and co-drafting is amazingly good fun. You mentioned the slow drafts. I'm more, I suppose it's because we're doing podcasts and content on it. I love the live ones, but there's a lot of pressure on those live drafts, but they are so much fun. But the slow drafts as well, when you're talking through players, it can make you think about things in a slightly different way, open your eyes to certain scenarios, give you more time to look in and check out things with your co-owner and check out the tools up on rotoviz.com and things like that. But the other question I was going to have for you when we look through it is, how much do you think players haven't, I guess, rookie success and then second year success? Let's just say over the last 3 or so years, we've had Justin Jefferson come in, absolutely tear things up. And then we've also had Jamar Chase come in as a rookie and tear things up, and all, you know, automatically their first round picks. And then the players behind them kind of almost get dragged up because, comparatively speaking, their price should be, you know, somewhat close to those guys. You know, we probably seen things, you know, 2014 with that draft class with Odell Beckham, Mike Evans, and so on. That kind of, a lot of breakout players as rookies and that, but a lot of these trends take time to get to the mainstream. And maybe those players have helped push it into the mainstream with the second year breakouts. But I mentioned at the start, two players getting sharper and smarter as they draft. The other question I would have is, you know, a lot of this information that we're talking about and how the ADP is looking is from May, June, and July. And a lot of the people that we're drafting here, they're pretty hardcore, I think, if you're drafting in May and June. So I wonder, is it a case that this will slightly change? I think they've probably been set to an extent now, because people who come in and start drafting in August, for example, or in mid-July, they are going to be playing on sites that have the ADP, and then it's very unlikely that you just start to disregard it completely. So how much do you think that it's, I guess, the sharper players? But the main question there is, how much do you think is seeing these players have massive success, the likes of Chase and Jefferson?
I mean, watching people win a bunch of money with Jamar Chase.
We don't need to talk about players who are Jamar Chase that won a bunch of money. We don't.
Well, I don't.
In case people don't know the story, Connor had Jamar Chase last year, and that was what got him over the line against myself, Sean Siegel, and Blair Andrews in that final.
So there is that example, but the guy who won BBM won on Underdog, Justin Herzig, he won with Justin Jefferson. So obviously seeing these people win a bunch of money with these younger players, obviously that's a very kind of visual, very tangible example of it working. And so people tend to want to
replicate,
that's the word, replicate that. And then I hope that the kind of casuals that come in August and September, that they're not paying attention to that, and that they
let them slide.
Maybe it's not the Jamar Chase that's going to slide, because he smashed so hard that last year. Maybe somebody who might slide is Devonta Smith, Rondale Moore, where like the results weren't quite as strong, and they're like, oh, if I look at their points last year, their game charts.
Both teams traded as well for traded first round picks to get other wide receivers on the roster as well.
They're like, oh yeah, the target competition. So hopefully that players like that might slide as we go deeper into draft season. But yeah, I guess to piggyback on that, I do think that trying to find cheaper second-year players is also a good way to kind of cost-effectively get exposure to that kind of like group of players. For one, I guess just Rondale Moore is somebody who I'm drafting basically as much as I can, because he fits a couple of kind of like criteria of player, a type of player that might be undervalued. One is that obviously he's a second year player, which historically has been undervalued. And then the other thing is that people pay a lot of attention to something called ADOT, which is the average depth of target. And his average depth of target last year was terrible in terms of like, I guess, generating yards and stuff like that. It was like a two or something like that. And people see that and like, oh, I don't want that on my team, because that doesn't score that many points. But I do think that people pay too much attention to something like that, especially with a young player, because you have to remember that someone like that, he was the wide receiver 4-ish last year. And so when he got on the field, they were just trying to find ways to get him onto the field and get him touches. Whereas now that Christian Kirk is gone, he really does have this opportunity to insert himself as the main slot receiver and expand that kind of route tree dramatically. And so you have the situation where somebody who wasn't running enough routes And now they can expand their what you call it, their route percentage. So they run, they can go, I think they ran something like 50% of the routes last year. Now he could be an 80% guy this year. And the type of routes that he runs could be a lot deeper. I guess the other thing is that his yards per route run was very much in line with like a Jalen Waddle, Elijah Moore. And so even despite the low ADOT, he was still not bad efficiency wise. And so you can get, I guess, somebody who fits all of these different criterias for undervalued and is liable to make this kind of breakout jump. And that's, I guess, that's one way that I would be looking at second-year receivers.
Yeah, the last time you were on, we talked about the stacking options and trying to get those undervalued stacks or maybe the less sexy stacks that people are not targeting as much. But a bit like you're saying there, like players who maybe had high expectations last year. Rondell Moore, like we drafted a lot of him last year. We're very excited about him coming in with his college, you know, profile and so on. Started quite good the first couple of weeks, tailed off, not as much happened. But when we look then at this season, you mentioned some of the positive reasons. They did trade for Marquise Brown, like I hinted at there, but they also have DeAndre Hopkins suspended for the start of the season. So there is opportunities there for them. Kyler Murray was injured kind of towards the last part of the last season, didn't look healthy. He should be back and up and running. The other second-year wide receiver, we won't go through all of them here. We're trying to keep these shows pretty much evergreen. But when we look at my favorite second-year wide receiver at the minute, it is Rashad Bateman. Anyone out there, we'll see how his ADP shifts. But he's a player who had a limited sample size last year. Again, didn't hit the heights that we hoped. His ADP climbed towards the start of the season last year in draft season. Didn't really deliver. So it's going to be interesting to see if people go back there to the well. I think he's still quite undervalued at this point, so we'll see how that plays out. He's my second year guy for this season. As we get ready though to close things up here, anything that we want to add to our conclusion, Connor, that we haven't touched on or that you want to make sure we re-emphasize to the people listening in?
Yeah, so I guess one kind of like side point I would say is that the players that we've mentioned are also cheaper. So Bateman would be more expensive than Moore. But if we can kind of like use this to also create cheaper exposure to these high octane dynamic offenses.
And bad offenses. I didn't mention Elijah Moore. You know, we love every wide receiver named Moore, but you know, there's a lot of lower cost on less sexy offenses wide receivers as well.
Right. Well, that's where you can kind of like you can kind of play it either way, whereas like you're creating cheap exposure to an offense we're really excited about, or you can create cheap exposure to an offense that people aren't excited about, and then if that offense does make a jump, you're being pushed up in a huge way as well.
No, I think that's great. I think like a lot of the talk this year is around week 17, around the playoffs, for example, and trying to get stacks, and it's the same here. I'm trying to target the lesser cost stacks, you know, trying to get those unique stacks that are pretty much the ones people don't want. And it's a bit like that with some of these second year players. Maybe people are remembering last year, maybe we're hurt by last year, and maybe we can get that little bit of an edge on some of those guys that we mentioned. But there's a number of other guys that we will be talking about throughout the course of the rest of kind of draft season as we get excited. You'll be able to see them up on rotoviz.com and some of our articles. We'll be talking about them on the podcast and on the YouTube channel, so you can check out all that content there. As always, as a loyal podcast listener, you can get yourself a 10% discount to all of our content and tools up on the website, including the piece we talked about today with Connor. You can check that out in the show notes today as well. But if you want to sign up and get access to all of the content up on the website, use the code RVRadio2022 at checkout. That'll give you all that access, give you access to all of the tools and set you up for success in 2022. If you're playing over at Underdog Fantasy and you're playing in some of their best ball contests, or if you're just playing in general, you can use the code RotoViz over there, get yourself a 100% sign-up bonus up to $100. They will match that dollar for dollar up to $100. Get involved there. Once again, the code is RotoViz, that is underdogfantasy.com. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. My guest today is Conor O'Driscoll, who you can follow on Twitter at DricoOut. Of course, he is the 2021 FFPC Best Ball Champion. Check out all his work up on rotoviz.com. Until we're back with another podcast, have a good one.